Today's passage is 1 Corinthians 15. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are of all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God, the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. For God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he is accepted who put all things in subjection under him. When all things are subjected to him, then the Son himself will also be subjected to him who put all things in subjection under him, that God may be all in all. Otherwise, what do people mean by being baptized on behalf of the dead? If the dead are not raised at all, why are people baptized on their behalf? Why are we in danger every hour? I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die every day. What do I gain if, humanly speaking, I fought with beasts at Ephesus? If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame. But someone will ask, how are the dead raised? With what kind of body do they come? You foolish person, what you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And what you sow is not the body that is to be, but a bare kernel, perhaps of wheat or of some other grain. But God gives it a body as he has chosen, and to each kind of seed its own body. For not all flesh is the same, but there is one kind for humans, another for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind, and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. So is it with the resurrection of the dead. What is sown is perishable, what is raised is imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. Thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of the dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on the immortality. When this perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. We just read the second to last chapter in 1 Corinthians. And this chapter is all about resurrection, the resurrection of Christ and then the resurrection of the dead. First off, Paul reminds the Corinthians about the resurrection of Christ. He writes in the first verse, now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you. This is the message they are saved by and need to hold fast to, as he writes. And of course, we are saved by the same message, and we need to hold fast to this as well. This gospel message being that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, in accordance with the scriptures. And then Paul writes about how he, Jesus, also appeared to Peter, the disciples, over 500 people, and finally, to Paul himself. He basically says, remember Jesus died for our sins, and he rose after 3 days, and he appeared to all these people. Remember this historical truth that Jesus physically rose from the dead. From here, Paul transitions to the topic of the resurrection of the dead in general. Verse 12. Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? Apparently, some people were questioning if the dead would be resurrected, if there is a life to come after death. However, Paul writes that Jesus' resurrection goes hand in hand with his people's resurrection. He argues that he can't say that just Jesus resurrected, but his followers wouldn't resurrect. In verse 20, Jesus is called the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. In other words, Jesus was the first of many to die and be resurrected. He made a way for this to happen. Again, Jesus made a way for man to have life after death. From verses 21 and 22, for as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. And later in the passage, the idea of Jesus as the last Adam is expanded upon. In all the ways Adam was representative of man, as he was from the earth and chose the way of death by sinning, Jesus came from heaven and became the hope for all mankind. And the good news is that we can all bear the image of Jesus and take part in all the life he provides. The verses keep building upon one another until the climax of verses 54 through 57. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the application from all this? There's just a couple verses in this chapter with direction for how to live. First, verse 34 says, "Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning." Sometimes for us, we simply need to wake up from our incorrect thinking. Although we most likely do not have people explicitly telling us there is no resurrection of the dead, or there is no life after death, the message of the world is just that. And like the Corinthians, we have to be careful not to get sucked into that way of thinking. The truth is that we have so much more life ahead of us than this current life on earth. If we are so reminded, then we'll always have this eternal life with Jesus in mind, and we'll say no to sin or ways that convey we only have this life to think about. The second application verse, the last verse, is very similar. It says, "Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." We are to be steadfast and immovable, staying firm in our belief in Jesus. Also, we are to always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing it's not in vain. There is a purpose and a reward. Especially when life is simply tiring and challenging, when doing the work of the Lord, loving and serving others, feels more like a grind than a joy, let's remember that there is a purpose and a reward to our labor for the Lord. Not just for this life, but there is an eternal joy awaiting us. We will be with Jesus in a perfect relationship one day. Let's surrender our lives to Him, knowing that He is working in us and shaping us to His image more and more. Let's live in light of this resurrection hope. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this chapter in Corinthians, and thank you for this reminder that Jesus, you resurrected, and therefore we will also be resurrected because we put our faith in you. God, so we pray for this sober-mindedness, God, that we would see how this life is not all that we're living for. God, and help us to live for you and to even labor for you, knowing that it's all for you, God, and that you're with us, and one day we'll be with you and see you perfectly. We praise you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.